Hey everyone, we're so excited to tell you about our new membership.
We're creating exclusive After Dark episodes, monthly live Q&A and discussion calls,
and even some exclusive merch.
See all the benefits and tiers at patreon.com/glampolyam.
You can't even date around. Like, you can't even get to know a bunch of people.
Yeah.
It's like,
because you get a bad reputation.
Yeah, you get a bad reputation then. And yeah. It's like, you, okay, so then you have to be selective about who you date. You're not even allowed just to, like, get to know somebody.
Yeah.
So you pick somebody that you want to date, then you're never allowed to be alone with them. And then all of a sudden, bam, one day you are married to this person and stuck with them basically the rest of your life. This is Glamorous and Polyamorous,
a show about exploring polyamory and other forms of non-monogamy after religion.
I'm Kelly Smith.
And I'm Zavi Benjamin. Today we are talking about dating as a polyamorous person, but like, I think not just dating as a polyamorous person. I think dating as a cult surviving polyamorous person specifically.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique situation, I feel like, for both of us.
Yes. And I'm really excited to get into it because I don't know. I just do not hear a ton of people talking about this.
Right.
Talking about having a fundamentalist religion background, you know? And like, what a shift that is to then dating polyamorously, dating as a polyamorous person.
Yeah.
Especially like in our case where none of us really dated. Neither of us really dated.
Right.
For real. We dated according to this cult.
Right.
I know.
I feel like for me, I didn't get to date while I was in high school. Yeah. I didn't get to date. I went to community college while I was in high school. So everyone's older than me. And we never were allowed to have those opportunities when we were younger.
Yeah.
So I feel like we have a totally, it's like we're totally thrown into the deep end.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I've never dated.
Yeah.
Never dated.
I know. And you were the first person that I actually dated.
Yeah.
Because as a Jehovah's Witness, you were told you can only date somebody if you are wanting to marry that person. You can only marry someone that's a Jehovah's Witness. Mm. So then it's like you can only date people who are Jehovah's Witnesses, usually locally in your area, because you have to see them. You have to date date with a chaperone.
You have to date with a chaperone.
So you go from dating somebody with a chaperone, so you're never alone with them, to then marrying them.
And depending on who you're with, I mean, you're really not allowed to have much contact, much physical contact while you're dating. I think I would say that most JWs are probably okay with holding hands, but like, depending on the XJW, like a kiss on the mouth might be inappropriate, you know, before you get married. I'm serious. Like making out is inappropriate, you know?
Yeah. You can get in trouble for that.
Grinding. Definitely inappropriate.
Makeout sessions.
Yeah.
Not allowed.
Yeah. You are not allowed to really touch each other much because.
Right.
It could lead to you being aroused. It could lead to you wanting to have sex with someone you like.
I know. Right?
What? How could you? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I think about it now. It's so nuts.
It is so wild. Like how you go from always being around or group dating. They would call it group dating where, let's all go hang out. But you knew two people liked each other.
Yeah.
And so but everyone had to hang out together. Like you couldn't get any alone time with that person.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to spill the tea because I don't even feel bad about it anymore. So when you and I were dating, we were still both Jehovah's Witnesses. And so the only ever alone time that we ever had was when I would go over to your house to watch Survivor on Wednesday evenings.
Yeah.
And your parents would stay upstairs and we'd be downstairs, right?
Yeah.
And every single week we would make out big time throughout the entire show. And that was the only alone time that we ever had.
Yeah.
And it was the only time that we ever got to connect on a physical sense. Right. Ever.
Yeah.
While we dated.
Right.
And like, I felt so guilty about it.
Yeah.
I felt so guilty that we had done that. Rather than feel what I think is the right thing, which is indignation at the fact that an organization could tell me how, like, what I can and cannot do,
right,
with someone whom I'm choosing to spend the rest of my life with,
yeah,
to make a commitment of marriage with,
right? I know, and I
why
really
don't I deserve that?
Yeah. I really don't know how they expect everyone to, you can't even date around. Like, you can't even get to know a bunch of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like,
because you get a bad reputation.
Yeah, you get a bad reputation then. And yeah, it's like, you, okay, so then you have to be selective about who you date. You're not even allowed just to, like, get to know somebody.
Yeah.
So you pick somebody that you want to date, then you're never allowed to be alone with them. And then all of a sudden, bam, one day you are married to this person and yeah, stuck with them basically the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Unless you get a divorce, but you're frowned on from getting a divorce. It's looked down on, and you get, you know, you could get disfellowshipped or shunned for just getting a divorce. You can't even get a divorce without it being considered adultery. So it's wild how they think that you can go from not barely touching this person to then all of a sudden, this is the only person that you're going to have sex with for the rest of your life, yeah, of your married life together, if yeah, you stay together.
And I should add that marriages happen really fast.
Yeah.
In JW culture.
Yes.
And I think that this is the reason why.
Yeah.
Because, like, everyone gets married within a year.
And they get married super young.
Most people get married within a year. Yeah. And most people get married pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you and I got married in, what, 9-ish months? 10-ish months?
Well,
we had known each other 5 years previous to us getting married.
Yeah, but we had known each other before.
Still, we had like been in a relationship for 8-ish months, basically. And then yeah, we got married.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
I know.
That's nuts. And we had never had sex with each other.
We did not have sex with each other before we got married.
No. No.
And it just happened to work out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the most I ever did was like a very light motorboat on the boobies.
You're gonna say
that one time, you know? But I think other than that, it was kosher. Not that I care, though. Okay, so now that we've established a little bit of the backstory of kind of the JW culture that we both grew up in, I think that's a good kind of transition point to, okay, then what does that mean for dating polyamorously? So I would love to know what your personal experience has been and yeah, how you've navigated that.
Yeah, for me, it was difficult because, like we said, I had never dated anybody before.
No.
And I had never even, like, gone to a bar and picked somebody up from a bar or had yeah, somebody pick me up from a bar. Like, I've yeah, never had that experience before.
Yeah.
So it's like, where do I even begin? Where yeah, do I start? I have no clue what I'm doing or where do I start? Yeah. And I was kind of afraid of doing dating apps because
yeah,
I feel like you don't always get to know who the person is, but you've got to start somewhere because it was in the middle of the pandemic when we decided to become non-monogamous. So it wasn't like you could just go out and meet people. And I didn't even know where to meet people
yeah,
because I wasn't allowed to date anybody before.
Right. And I think because you have like an aversion to technology, I think, in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
And so you I don't think you've ever met people online or really done much community online, right? Because right. like I had been online because I was doing web design. And so I was on Twitter and I was on like these social media sites, like networking with people for work. Yeah. And so I think it's always been a little bit easier for me to meet people online.
Yeah, I wasn't even on Facebook. Right. I only had an Instagram account. Right, right, right. And I did have
and
a Twitter.
And you had that reluctantly, right? Yeah.
Yes. And yeah. then I finally, you convinced me to get a Facebook account because yeah. I'm like, okay, there's so much on there that I am missing. I hate that I have to have a Facebook account, but there's so much on there that I'm missing that I feel like, okay, I got to start somewhere.
Yeah. The FOMO is real for you, huh?
It is. And there's a lot. I didn't realize there's a lot of groups on Facebook.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of community that you can find there.
Right. You can find community because you have those groups that are topic specific.
Right.
And you can create a group that is any topic.
Yeah. And you can find people that have similar interests as you. Even yeah. like meetup, there was a meetup for just like going to see nerdy movies, like Marvel yeah. movies. And so yeah. it's like, I love Marvel. So I would totally go to that and maybe meet somebody there.
Yeah.
But I think the big thing for me was just like, okay, I've got to get a Facebook and yeah. I've got to do this online dating thing yeah. because it's during the pandemic. There's no way I'm going to meet anybody.
Right.
Just from sitting in my apartment. So
where did you end up meeting the first person you went on a date with?
It was through OkCupid.
Oh, okay.
So I finally reluctantly signed up for OkCupid.
Yeah.
And I know there's a bunch of other online dating apps, but I like OkCupid because you can say that you're non-monogamous on there and you can say you have a partner. You can even link bios. So I think that's what you convinced me, like, okay, let's go on OkCupid. We can link our bio so people know that we're married, and then we can go from there. But what different profiles were you on?
I don't even want to get started on this question. I feel like I have a dating profile on a lot of apps.
Like, what's some of them?
Okay, let's see. I have a Tinder profile. Okay, I have an OkCupid. I have a Bumble.
Oh, yeah, Bumble.
I have a Hinge. I have a Taimi.
I have
Her. I have Field.
Oh, Field.
I've got Open, hashtag Open. Oh, like, yeah. Oh, Facebook dating. Facebook dating. Bloom. Like,
oh, yeah. The Bloom app. And
there are so many places that you could possibly have a dating profile.
But the good thing about a lot of those that you mentioned is that you can put that you're non-monogamous on there.
That is what is amazing is that at this point, yes, most of the ones that I have mentioned right now,
yeah.
you can specify that you are non-monogamous. Not all of them, though, have a filter for that. Oh. I think OkCupid is still one of the few that you can filter out people who are monogamous and only people who are non-monogamous. Another one that is more focused on non-monogamy is Field. I think that's another good one that is usually recommended. Hashtag Open is also a non-monogamous and polyamorous focused app.
Mm-hmm.
Bloom, you can also filter for non-monogamy and monogamy. So again, I think the list of dating apps that are embracing people who are non-monogamous is growing, but I think that there's still some catching up to do, and which I've never understood. I don't understand why they wouldn't want non-monogamous people on their dating apps. Like, you know, Hinge's whole thing, right, was, oh, the dating app you delete. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
Why wouldn't you market yourself to a whole community of people that are always maybe open to dating someone? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think another good place to find people is Facebook groups. I feel that it's so much better to find people that have certain things in common with you. One really cool Facebook group that I have found so many friends in is Polygeekery on Facebook. And like, I don't know how. I mean, well, I do know how. They have like introductory posts sometimes, mm-hmm. and you can participate in those and you can find friends. And I've made some really cool friends across different parts in the United States and even across the globe through those groups.
Yeah. You know? And even through the Facebook group that you started of XJW and Polyamorous, found so many people that are friends that live in different states that are also polyamorous, but they also understand your background as well.
Right. Which, by the way, if you are XJW and polyamorous and you're out there, you should totally join that Facebook group. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to be encouraging. And then since it was during the pandemic, you started a lot of Zoom meetups.
Yeah.
And that allows you to see the people face to face, which I always had a hard time with before was online dating. You don't actually get to see this person and in real life and interact with them. It's always over chat or over text, which I am not that great at. I always tend to overanalyze my text.
Right.
So I feel like once you're in person, you could just get the vibe of that person.
It's so fascinating how different people are just different, right? And I mean, we've said before that we do polyamory differently.
Right.
And
it's always a joke between us.
And it is true because I like having the opportunity to make a kind of baseline connection with someone over an online medium and then being able to expand on that in person.
Oh.
And I feel like I like the texting part because I feel like it informs a little bit about how the connection is going to go, how it's shaping up to be.
Yeah. You know? I get that. I like to talk to the person a lot, a little bit, chat with them, and then meet in a public space afterwards.
Yeah.
And then, but then I like to just see, okay, if what they're saying to me on paper matches how they are in person.
Yeah.
Or I guess not on paper, text over the phone.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like the saying still stands. It's okay. yeah, that's true. I think, and, that kind of brings me to a particular point that I wanted to make, which has to do with both of these things, which is that I struggle with knowing when to trust people and how to build trust with people. And I attribute this directly to the cult because I feel like the cult taught me anyone who's a JW is someone you can trust. Anybody who's not a JW is someone you can't trust.
Right.
And ultimately, I think that kind of like infantilizes and also makes trust a black and white thing when it's not. It is something that builds over time. And so that's been a huge challenge for me knowing when to trust people, knowing how to display that I do trust someone, but at the same time not open myself up for possibly being hurt when I don't yet know someone well enough, you know? Like, those are, I think, the kind of challenges that I kind of constantly face as I date.
Yeah. You know? I think there's a lot of challenges that go along with online dating. Like unsolicited dick pics, getting ghosted.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I feel like, especially as a woman, there's so many unsolicited things that you get.
Right.
And you have to sort through so many random people to find quality people. That is a little bit harder.
Yeah.
I get so many messages. I even remember a friend of mine, we both got the same message from the same guy. Yeah. And it was just like copy and pasted. And it was like paragraphs long. It was long. But he was saying the same thing to both of us.
Good grief.
When we talked about it, we're like, wait, I got a message from the same dude. It's so funny. Like, okay, you have to gauge who is real and who is not.
Yeah.
And who is just like throwing stuff out there just to see what sticks.
I think that it's such a challenge to find people to build a relationship with, truly. Like, yeah, that is not an easy thing to find. I think it takes time. It doesn't, it's also exciting because I think you could possibly meet that person anywhere.
Yeah.
And at any time, but finding those people is hard. And I think there is totally a gender, you know, complete difference in terms of your experience in online dating. Yeah. Because I think women get flooded with likes and messages. And it's so, you know, I think I was hearing someone say this at a Polyam event that I was at recently. They were like, yeah, I have to sort through all of these messages to actually find good people. Right. Whereas I think more male presenting people, they have that advantage of the people who are usually reaching out to them are already kind of like interested. You know, you can be a little bit more confident that this person is already someone that you might want to talk to.
Right. They're a genuine person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I feel like it's so hard sometimes to sort through them to find out, okay, wait, is this a person that I could actually date, or is this just somebody that is just trying to hook up for the night? And I think that something that's important to do is just be honest in your profile. Tell them, be open upfront that you're non-monogamous.
Yeah.
Or if you have multiple partners or partners, and just be honest and state what you're genuinely looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. I put non-monogamous or polyamorous in all of my profiles, whether there's like an option to add it or not, because I feel like I don't want to waste my time.
Right.
I don't want to waste my time. I want people to match with me who actually are okay with that already. I don't want to deal with people that are not okay with that. What's your key takeaway?
I think the beauty of polyamory is that you never know when you're going to run into somebody or who you're going to run into, and that you aren't restricted from allowing yourself to have a crush on somebody, to like somebody, and then see where things go. Yeah. So it's important just to be genuine, to be yourself, and to allow those new connections to happen.
My key takeaway is to be yourself. And I think that it is also okay to communicate to your potential partners, to people that you meet, that you may not have a lot of experience, that I mean, I tell people that I'm a cult survivor. I tell people that I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. I tell people that, like, there are certain cultural things that I don't understand, that I don't know. And so I'm open to learning things. And if, like, I mess up or I do something that seems weird, I'm open to hearing that because I feel like I'm learning. And I think that that is my biggest thing when it comes to dating, is that, like, I'm learning as I go. I'm just trying my best. And also that it's a process. It does not happen overnight. Again, you can meet someone anywhere and at any time, but that doesn't always happen on the timeline that you want. Thank you so much for listening. We'd love to hear from you. What has worked for you when it comes to dating? We'd love to hear about it in the comments below, or send us an email, hello@glampolyam.com. Kel, where can the people find us on the internet?
They can find us on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook, on Threads, all at Glam Polyam.
Yeah. Anywhere on the internet, Glam Polyam.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that. I think it sounds cool.
I like it too.
Yeah. We also want to tell you that we are giving away free stickers to people who send us a screenshot of their review of our podcast. We would really appreciate a rate and review. We love it. We are good little sluts for it. So yeah. Thank you so much for listening. If you know someone that might love our show,
please share it with them, as that's the best way for new people to find the podcast, and it would mean so much to us.
Thank you.